every one of us set goals. Some goals that we set are not attainable, unfortunately. We have to know the direction in which to take to attain our goal. But all the goals that our Heavenly Father has laid out for His new creation are attainable, and Vern brought that very adequately to our attention here in talking about getting to know the Father better. Now, our subject is knowing Jesus and the plan better. And when I viewed this and went to sit down to begin searching into the material that I would use for our little discussion with you this morning, I said to myself, just how can I know Jesus better? I thought I already knew Him. I've been 30 years in the truth. How better can I know Jesus? And then I had to realize that perhaps I didn't know Him as well as I could. And what do I know about the divine plan of the ages? Am I so familiar with the divine plan of the ages that it has become the very fabric of my life? The first scripture that came to my mind was we're going to use several scriptures here, but for the first one, for our topic of knowing Jesus better, comes from Philippians 3:10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Attainable goal. Knowing Jesus. Knowing Him and the power of His resurrection. We've already been told about this resurrection and this great power just in the last discourse by our brother Bleachers. What do we know about the fellowship of His sufferings? Well, we know that when we entered into this marvelous invitation to be dead with Jesus and to live with Him on a higher plane, that we became, in effect, partners with Him. And this is what we talk about each and every memorial season, that we're partners with Jesus. That we must conform our lives unto His death. What were the circumstances that led to His death? And then the second scripture is John 5:39, which says, "Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." So we have key words in these two scriptures, that I may know Him and search the scriptures. How do we get to know Jesus better? This is the question, isn't it? We start by a study of His life, His character, His attitudes, and His goals. It's been stated that even as a young boy of only 12 years of age, that Jesus was striving at that young age to please His Father. No, not Joseph, but His Father, the great Creator of the universe. Even then, because of His human perfection as a man, He was searching to know more about His Father in heaven. And how to please Him? Well, all obedient children want to please their parents. A boy, it is said, wants to be just like his father. And our Lord was this way. He says He came to do the will of His Father, John 5:30. To do this, He had to be obedient. Being found In fashion as a man, he humbled himself and he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross, we read in Philippians 2 and 8. Jesus, we found by a study of his life, was a merciful and wonderful high priest. Wherefore, all things it behooved him to be made just like his brethren, that he might be merciful and faithful, a high priest in all things pertaining to God, to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Hebrews 2:17. We know another thing about Jesus' life, that he was of a meek and a lowly spirit. Yes, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. For I am meek and lowly of heart. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How do we do this? How can we do this? Only by entering into that yoke. Only by seeing how Jesus was of this meek and lowly spirit. How Jesus was just like his Father. Can we too humble ourselves, bring ourselves down to that condition where we can sympathize? Have you ever considered how merciful our Heavenly Father is to us? Yes, we're not perfect like Jesus in any sense of the word. Our righteousness has been stated as filthy rags, and it's only because that our wrongs have been covered that we can be into a condition where we can be made like our Lord and Savior Jesus. Jesus, yes, was in a prayerful attitude all the time. He constantly was seeking to know of the Father's will and direction. And he prayed constantly for those of his disciples, and he prayed for all of mankind. Jesus was a servant in the greatest degree possible. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and verses 25 through 27, read this way. He says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they exercise authority upon them, and they are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. He that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief, as one who doth serve. For who is greater, he that sits at meat, or he that serves? Is not he that sits at meat? But I am among you as he that serves. Yes, and when we consider this, we say, how can we do this? Well, if Jesus told his disciples that they could do it, then that's an attainable goal, and we can do it. But only because we have to realize that we have nothing of ourselves, that only as the Father has granted unto us have we anything worthwhile. And Jesus, of all, demonstrated the spirit of love. He was the very personification of his Father, who is love. And he was love. And his service was based upon love. His life was based a life of love. Matthew 5 and 44, John 13 and 35, John 15, 12 and 13, and 1 John 4, 7 are just a few of the scriptures on this subject. Those who shall be called to be Christ, part of his body, are to have a pattern to follow. 1 Peter 2:21. We need to ask ourselves daily, what would Jesus do? What would Jesus say? And then in a prayerful attitude, emptying ourselves of all self-will and looking unto Jesus through the aid of the Holy Spirit, we shall attain unto the goal of knowing Jesus better and being pleasing unto Him and unto our Heavenly Father. The second half is knowing the plan better. Well, we use a scripture for this too. One that's very familiar with you all, Ephesians 3, 10 and 11 diaglot. To enlighten all as to what is the administration of that secret, which has been concealed from the ages in God, that who created all things, in order that now may be known to the governments and authorities in the heavenlies through the congregation the much diversified wisdom of God according to the plan of the ages, which He formed for the anointed, Jesus our Lord. And we thank God for that plan daily, don't we? That He's now working out in a most marvelous way. Just how can we become more familiar with His plan? Study is the key. Henny Youngman, the violinist comedian, was in Philadelphia for an engagement, and a man came up to him on the street and he asked him, "How do I get to Carnegie Hall?" And he said, "Practice, practice." This only serves to illustrate how we must study to show how much we know of God's will and plan of the ages. You know, we'll never be familiar with the plan or any part of it without study. Never. You can have this Bible in your house, and many thousands, maybe millions, do, on the shelf. And if you don't open it and seek for what's in it, you'll never know. You'll never know. 2 Timothy 2:15, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of God." Yes, rightly dividing. God's word is not on the surface. You're going to have to search for it. I'm going to have to search for it. We're not going to know it in a year. We're not going to know it in 10 years. It's going to take our lifetime to know God's plan. And then, my dear brethren, we won't know the half of it. We won't even know the half of it. We think we're pretty smart because we have the divine plan of the ages. Oh, to be nothing, nothing, only to sit at His feet. Yes. We are told to watch for the fulfillment of prophecy. The beginning of the last book of the Bible, Revelation, says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." Revelation 1:3. Now we have this privilege of knowing lots of things that those of past ages did not know. At the return of our Lord in 1874, a fulfillment of prophecy took place, which has been a blessing and a strength for all of God's people. Matthew 24:45-47 was about that wise and faithful servant who brought us meat in due season. The 6 volumes of studies in the Scriptures was written and has been a boon for Bible students. These 6 volumes are the whole Bible in topical form. They don't take the place of the Bible. They're an aid to the Bible. It has been suggested that we can read the Bible in 1 year. We probably can. But how much will we understand if we just read it? You have to study it. Reading alone will not totally keep us informed and enlightened about the plan of the ages. Study must be undertaken. And this is why we meet with others, isn't it? On a regular basis. Hebrews 10:24-25 tells us to do this. The person or persons who believe they alone have all the answers is certainly not on stable ground. No, we don't mean that personal study is not to be undertaken, but personal study without the use of dialogue with others of like precious faith is wrong. 1 Timothy 6:18, Hebrews 13:16, Galatians 6:6. The Heavenly Father gave us all the means to know and understanding God and His plan better. Attainable goals? To know Jesus better is to study His life and character, to study His goal. Daily leaning on His strength, seeking Him through prayer, we will come off more than conqueror. To know God's plan better, we must study. We must search the prophecies. We must watch for the events that are taking place that the prophets wrote of. Yes, continuing a thorough study of the six volumes of the Scriptures and seeing their beauty and how we may mold our life into His plan.